In South Korea, every able-bodied man has to perform 2 years of military service. Those who refuse to join the military face jail time. Jeffrey Larger is an American activist and filmmaker who has lived in South Korea for over 3 years. He has been involved in the growing conscientious objectors movement in that country. He is currently working on a documentary film on the issue. We have reached Jeffrey in Seoul, South Korea. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello.
Can you tell us how you got involved in the conscientious objectors movement in South Korea?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I first heard about the situation of basically conscription service here in Korea when I lived in the U.S. I was going to university, and a friend of mine talked about how he did not want to go back to Korea because he didn't want to go to the military. And that was pretty surprising to me. Coming from the U.S., we hadn't had something like death to draft in a long time, so I was pretty shocked about that. When I came to Korea, I got involved in some political protests and went out there and noticed that a lot of the police were very young kids that were forced to enter the conscription service and basically forced to become riot police and attack, you know, their own citizens, some of them against their will. And yeah, I started to get interested in conscription problem, heard about International Conscientious Objector Day, which is May 15th, and started going to some of those events and met some of the people there, and went to press conferences, people who were COs, conscientious objectors, and yeah, just started going from there. Some of my friends are conscientious objectors, and other ones are avoiders, which means they try to find ways to get out of the military and get out of jail. And some of that is pretty difficult.
Oh, yeah. So it sounds you have met with many conscientious objectors. Can you tell us about the hardships faced by the people you've met?
Well, yeah. Most recently, a friend of mine came to my house basically running away from home because his parents were forcing him to join the military even before it was his scheduled time because they were afraid that he was going to do something like refuse to go. So people's lives are affected pretty profoundly if they are anti-military. I know people who have gone to mental hospitals to avoid military taking medication, people who fled the country, people who gain weight, lose weight, damage their bodies to avoid it. And then what's happening more and more are people taking an overt political stance and going to jail, making a statement, spending a year and a half pretty much in jail and coming out with a criminal record. And once they have a criminal record, of course, getting certain jobs, getting government services can be complicated, to say the least, not to mention the social stigma in Korea, where it's looked on quite negatively by most of the population if you did not go to the military here still.
Okay, so now I hear that you are documenting some of their stories in a film. Can you tell us about this film?
Sure. The film is taking a fairly broad scope. I'm trying to show a lot of sort of background information about Korean society, so I want to have a little bit of history. I'm including a lot of perspective of mainstream Korean people, like how it seems that the majority of people here still support the conscription service. Think of it as just a matter of course and don't even question it whatsoever and are quite shocked by the concept of refusal to go. And so it's still just something that's just becoming even a topic of conversation here in Korea, whereas I think in a lot of other places it would be seen as quite a shocking infringement on the on freedom. And so I'm focusing on a couple of people, in specific, one guy's name is Nguk, who was a peace activist who went to Iraq and Palestine. He's now serving in jail here in Korea. Just trying to show how his ideology developed, how he made the decision to go to jail and how that affected his family. I think he in particular had a somewhat unique situation in that his family was somewhat independent thinking and didn't expect him to really be the typical normal Korean male citizen. So he had a support network that helped him out with that. But so the film is in two ways showing just general Korean social background that sort of allows conscription service to continue in the way it does, unchallenged, more or less, except for a few people, and then focusing on a couple people who do challenge the system.
You said that you will focus on two cases. So what is another case? Can you introduce us a little bit?
Sure. Well, there's a couple people I interview who are avoiders, they call them here in Korea. People who don't refuse to go to the military openly, but avoid it. And since that is illegal and they don't want to go to jail, they did interviews anonymously. One of them is a friend of mine who took medication for schizophrenia, even convinced his mother that he had schizophrenia for quite a while in order to avoid the military. Trying to think of another case. I've met a North Korean refugee who came to Korea, and he made up his mind that, you know, in order to assimilate and become a good South Korean citizen, that he should join the military, because when he hangs out with other South Korean males, he has nothing to talk about. All the men seem to a part of the cultural sort of glue here is the shared common military experience among Korean men. So they get together and talk about military and soccer and what kind of experiences they had. And it's very much a sort of standard that is supposed to equalize people within Korean society, even though social economic gap is quite large here.
Oh, yeah, it sounds interesting. So what sort of events or protests have been held in South Korea or elsewhere in order to publicize the issue of conscientious objectors in Korea?
Well, the biggest event, I suppose, that specifically addresses conscientious objection, there's the International Day for Conscientious Objectors, which is May 15th, and 2008, War Resisters International and other peace groups and anti-conscription organizations held an international event, and the focus for this year was Korea, because Korea has a especially high number of people in jail. I think has the majority of all people in prison for conscientious objection in among countries with conscription service are from South Korea. And the previous administration, the Nomihun administration, was about to put through Congress a law that would allow for alternative non-military service to be an option for people. Right now, some people get placed in civil service, but it's not really their choice. So basically, someone who objects to the military does not have that option right now. They must choose between military or going to jail or planning a difficult way to avoid it. And when the new administration came into power, Lee Myung-bak's administration, it's a significantly more conservative one. They completely stopped that process, and it looks like there won't be alternative military service here in Korea for another few years. It seems like that it will likely happen, but not for a while. So that's why international community decided to focus on Korea for this year, 2009, sorry.
Okay. So 2009, right?
Yep.
Okay. So as I know, mandatory military service in Korea used to be more longer, right? So, but recently it was reduced from 3 years to 2 years. Can you tell us the impact that activists have had on this change in government policy?
Well, I know that, yeah, peace activists, but also just in general, I think scholars and NGOs and civil society have definitely been raising the pressure on the government to do something about it. I think for a while the government and sort of in general academic or politically oriented civil society has known that the conscription service is problematic, but it's been very unclear as to how and when to deal with it. For example, I remember a number of feminists sort of criticized the conscription service because it gave a certain privilege, like points, almost affirmative action type points to men who had joined the military, who went through the military system, giving them access to better jobs and stuff like that, getting promoted more quickly. And that was eventually overruled. And yeah, the sentences for jail has been shortened from 3 years. The time in the military was reduced as well for soldiers who go to the military. So it seems to be a trend for reducing the conscription service overall. And I think activists mainly just making it an issue has been one of the main things, just making it something that's in the newspapers. It hasn't even been a topic of discussion much in general Korean society since 2000, so it's still new discourse here in Korea.
Okay, I see. It is a more personal question. So when is your film going to be available for people to watch?
I'd like to know the answer to that question as well. Hopefully next spring I'm going to be back in North America and hopefully have it ready for screening, but not so sure yet.
Okay, so is there an English language website that people can go to for more information?
Yeah, for just general information about conscription service, and there should be some good stuff you can find about Korean situation as well. I'd check out WRI, that's War Resisters International, WRI-IRG.org. And for information about, specifically about Korea and more information about the film, you could see CO, that's Conscientious Objection, in KoreaMovie.blogspot.com. So it's COIN, KoreaMovie.blogspot.com. And I have a Korean focused website there, all in English.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us on this program, Jeffrey. Good luck with your work.
Thanks, Sue. Thank you.
Have a good night. We have been speaking with Jeffrey Larger. He is an American activist living in South Korea, who is documenting the Conscientious Objectors movement there.